That was my friend's one piece of advice to me before starting a podcast was don't forget to hit record.
He
Yeah,
loves
well, fun fact, my
children.
brother asked my mom to return me to the hospital when I came home. So they might love babies until it's living with them and they realize they don't have
Oh,
the
that's
attention.
he didn't mean
Then he loved me, but
it.
I didn't mean it. Is that
He didn't mean it.
where my trauma comes from?
Facts, yes.
You and I always just jumping right in. I am so happy to have you on the podcast with me today. Something's brewing. It's a new venture for me, having inspiring conversations and trying to fill people's cups. And you and I met on a webinar. I was
Yes.
hosting a webinar. We kind of bonded off of, I think being Virgos was the first thing that kind
Yep.
of clicked for us. Just like,
Absolutely.
yeah, right away, just understanding each other. And we're like, soul sisters,
Absolutely for
it's
life.
meant to
Yes.
be. Yeah, I'm super excited to have you. And if you want to just take a moment to introduce yourself,
Yeah.
that would be awesome.
Thank you, Laura. I am deeply grateful and excited for you as a fellow podcaster.
Thank you.
Welcome to the world of podcasting.
I love
It
it
is
already.
wild. It is so much fun though. And for me, all the things I do, so in addition to being Virgos, we're also shared Jamaica,
That is
in our
right.
truth, and as rightfully so, doing a million things at once. I am a New York licensed attorney. I am a professor. I'm a coach. I'm a speaker. I'm a blogger, podcaster, content creator, DEI HR professional, mother,
My Lord, my
Black
Lord.
feminist. I mean, it's a lot.
It's amazing. It's like, how many hats can you wear?
As many as my head can hold.
Yeah.
So we're gonna keep on, hopefully, adopting pets soon, right? Like, just gonna keep on going with it. And for me, it all is under the umbrella of just wanting to inspire and help other people find their truth, whether that's through their career, through their passion. That's why I love doing all the different things that I do because it allows me to touch on different skill sets. And I loved what you said in starting out and just having meaningful conversations, filling the cup, because as you grow up, you realize just how tough life is, and you cannot have enough resources that make you feel more connected, that make you understand your inner truth, your inner purpose on a deeper level, because there is no guidebook, right? You come into this earth and you're just like, okay, play. And like, what does that mean? Which is, where do we
And then you
play?
lose that sense of play, and then it's like, okay, perform
Exactly.
and be this person, but be that
Exactly.
person. Yes.
Exactly. Put on the hat, figure out who you are, stick in the box. And it's like, no, life is play, but you've got to figure out how big your sandbox is, where your sandboxes are, and then what are you going to do with that play? What are you going to make out of that play?
Oh my God. I love it. I feel like everything you just said is just like snap, snap, snap. Yes. And the way that you talk, you just exuberate such energy and
Thank
so
you.
inspiring right from the jump. And I'm so like, yes, Jamaica, yes, Virgo, but
Hey.
really it's like, yes, fill your cup, yes, inspire, yes, find your inner truth. And that's like a journey that I'm just, I feel like just starting. I feel like it starts to morph into, you define it differently through every chapter of your life, right? And I was
Yes.
like, wait, I know myself. And it's like, psych. Yeah. Universe is like, no, you don't, dude. Like, here,
Yes.
I'm knocking at your door at this
Yes.
again with the same message. Do you want to listen this time? You know?
And what's interesting is actually, I do think we know ourselves, but it changes, right? Like, who we are at 6 is different than 16 and 26
Yeah.
and 36, right? Like, and the beauty of womanhood is I think we typically embrace and lean into that change and evolution, and changing from the cocoon to whatever we're going to be, more so than our male counterparts. And so that's why I love being a woman. We welcome it. And then, but and we try to define the path a little bit more. And that's what it's about. It's about understanding where you are today, but then
Yeah.
also welcoming who you are 10 years from now, right? And then the next 10.
Yeah. So something that comes to mind when you say that is also as women, though, I think we do also then care about what other people think of us a little bit more. So
Yes.
we can
Yes.
also, which for me is definitely relevant. And I think I fought that morphing
Yeah.
into my own person so hard that's where I
Mm.
cause internal friction. And I
Yeah.
know obviously in like the DEI space that must come up a lot as well. So how do you
Absolutely.
kind of, speak to that idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, it's life is very much challenging in that you're trying to navigate your journey within the context and boxes that you exist within. So whether that's your career and that's a more corporate space or non-traditional space, and you're trying to figure out how to be your best you in all the different versions. And so more honesty with yourself about what you need, what are boundaries. And again, we don't teach our children enough about boundaries and about like it's okay to say no. It's okay to also say, yes, I need this. I need this accommodation. And then also, what are the learnings, right? Within diversity, equity, and inclusion, the key to that is true ongoing learning and teaching, and then allowing for that play to see and understand what does it mean to see and experience a microaggression, or what does it mean and see to develop career pathing for people of color, for diverse people. So it's like you have to, I think the answer to it is just honesty, saying no when you need to, and then your tribe, finding your tribe and community where in the different spaces you exist in, because it's a lot harder to have psychological safety, to feel like you can grow, that you're welcome if you don't have people championing you in all the different spaces that you exist within.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And I think honesty with yourself is, and self-awareness is the first, step to even trying to be honest with yourself, because there's so many fears that then pop up, right? And that comes from either your childhood or different, there's parts of you that you bring forth with you, right? As you change as well. So I think honoring those different parts is something that I've also just started to dive into. I shout out to the book, The Fragmented Self, if nobody has read it. Really, really great book where it's just really honoring that all parts of you exist and all of you come through your life with you. And as we start to try to, it's like the shadow work, right? As we start to like get rid of our shadows, also parts of ourselves that teach us about ourselves. So it's not that we want to dim those things. We want to honor them and allow them the space to be there. And I think that that's something that I definitely took to, because there were so many parts that I was trying to like shell off. And that shelled me off from me.
That's powerful. Wow. One thing I've learned as well, and you may share this as well, being of Caribbean background, our community can be really remarkable, but also very stifling when it comes to emotional exploration, right?
Oh,
That
man.
emotions are weakness, right? And how dare you cry? And if someone makes you cry, why are you crying, right? Like no one can make you do or feel. And so just not feeling safe to have emotional breath and space. And so in my career now, trying to be open about like, if I'm not feeling well and I need some time, or saying, you know what, this behavior is triggering for me. It makes me feel less confident, makes me feel less right. And just being able to share that and speak that has been a wild journey for me in my current career, but I welcome it because it wasn't something I would have even thought I could do like 5 years ago. So
Oh,
that.
you're speaking my language. I think a lot of me lately has been like, how much have I suppressed? Right. And that can cause so much internal strife, right? So I kind of kick it back to you as to how do you encourage people? Because I think a lot of what people might be dealing with and friction that might be dealing with, either in the DEI space or well-being and in general, personal or professional, can come from past imprints, right? That either you don't know exist or you're aware of, but still haven't developed the tools to kind of combat that. Because it wasn't until recently where I really realized how much, and it was a willingness I had to assume for myself to go back and look at safe enough. Did I feel safe to express things? The answer was no, it was suppressed. And it was immediately said, I felt that way before, and kind of shunted, right, or dismissed. Or somebody said, no, that's not how you feel. Have you thought about it this way, right? And you don't know the impact that that has until I think you unfortunately face like friction and internal struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you deal with that? Yeah. So first, we have to just say to ourselves, I'd say this to myself, I'm not a child anymore, right? A lot of times we go back and we're trying to experience things and we're like, well, when I grew up, cool, right? That was then, but this is you now, right? So what does now you want? And it's okay to have these wants. If you need to write it out, if you need to speak it out, if you need to confess them, but you have to acknowledge that the past version of you is a part of you, but she or he or they are not all of you. And that you have to make space and figure out if you could design your life, which is like, how could I? Yes. If you could design your life, your career, dot, 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 what does that look like? How does that feel? Why do you want what you want? And then what are you willing to do to get that? Right. So whether that's exploration of boundaries, whether that's figuring out a new job, whether that's crafting or changing your function in your career now, whether that's looking at your wellness journey and figuring out, wow, like I've been going to the gym, but it hasn't been serving me. I actually feel worse and I'm, you know, binge eating or I'm starving myself because I'm so afraid to have a cupcake. What are you doing that's serving you? What are you doing that's not serving you? Be willing and free enough to say enough and pick a pathway that works and start to continue to read and expose yourself to techniques and tools to help you learn. Because a lot of people do want to get better, but they don't know how, and they just sit in that space. So instead of just sitting in the space of, I don't know, sit in a space of, I want to know, and go out and do it. Right? Like go out and read and listen to podcasts and take a course. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's free that you can do. People use money as an excuse. Nope. Like
well, it's out there. Because there it introduces the idea of change. And no, we don't like change, you know?
No. It's very scary. But what's scarier than change is stagnance.
Stagnant.
And being your same self for 40 years. That terrifies me. So I welcome like today being drastically different from yesterday and being drastically different from tomorrow. Because if I'm the same me every day, that means I'm essentially dead in the water. I haven't grown. I haven't evolved. And as a parent, for those listening, you know, one of the greatest things you can do is to be a parent or to be a role model, but more importantly, to change the narrative of that next generation. If I imbue all of my nonsense and foolishness to my son and I haven't made it and shown him, because it's not just what you say, it's what you show them. Children pay attention.
They are sponges.
Yeah. Right. So I can say anything in 1,000 years, but if I don't speak better to myself, I can't then expect him to speak wellness over himself because he saw me treat myself like crap. Right. So how can I be better in my actions, in my words, in my lifestyle choices that then allow him to grow up into the man he wants to be and needs to be through the health and the journey and the healing that I'm currently on? I like, so even if you can't heal for yourself, if you have children, if you have people paying attention to you, you've got to find a way to heal for them. Because if you don't, it's another generation of garbage.
And when you have kids, you start to live your life for them, right? And you forget about yourself. And so, so it's that neglect, but how is that neglect showing up for you and for your child or children, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Scary. It's scary to like, I have a duty. People are like, how do you do all you do? Well, I have a son that's paying attention, right? Like, and if I don't get myself together, then I risk his journey being less as bright and as beautiful and bold as it can be. And that's not fair. He didn't ask for that. I brought him here. I have an obligation to do the best I can be so he can be the best he can be. Yeah.
So what does that necessarily look like for you every day? What are you actively doing each day?
Yeah. So a lot of that is, since on the topic of wellness and healing, is actually like dedicating time to walking and to exercising. And it's not easy. I used to call myself like a sloth. Like I would question why people volunteer to sweat. I was like, that's wild. Why would you do that to yourself? That's very unfortunate.
Now, sorry, sorry for you.
you're a sweating box. Like I just, I sweat like nobody's business. My skin's like, go ahead, girl, do you. So I'm constantly sweating, which is my six-year-old version of me would be like, girl. So I'm very proud of myself for sweating. And I'm drinking water. I have a gallon bottle of water. I jug around by the house and I'm journaling and I'm mindful about the thing. Like it's so quick and easy to just start talking and not like pause and think about what you're saying. Because a lot of times I did grow up with people speaking poorly about themselves, but especially women, right? Women, oh, I'm such a silly person. Nope. Cut it out.
Right.
Keep wellness over yourself always. Right. And before getting to a limitation or a statement of no, can we get to a yes first? I try to correct everyone in the household. Like before we say this can't be done, what have we tried to do to get it done? So he understands yes is always the place to go before we get to no, right? Wow. And then also just trying to just be more loving. Also within the Caribbean culture, it can be sometimes it's so much survival mode and not like loving, thriving mode. So, you know, I ask him to do something and I say, I love you, right? To let him know that, yes, there's discipline, but it's connected to the idea that, you know, I love you and this is the betterment for you. And we also don't believe in corporal punishment, which is hugely different than how me or my husband grew up. No beating of children in the household. Yep, it's wild, but we're going to have emotional and physical safety. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then reading. He is a sponge. He loves to read and he's 2 years old. And I love that because I love reading. Reading it is the growth that you can't put a dollar sign to it. I feel sick, like physically ill if I don't read enough. So I'm that.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it allows you to go into another world. I remember like doing that with my niece and nephew. It's like you can see life through their eyes and how amazing everything is. And it gives you that second pause. Like simple as like we're walking and like an airplane. And the minute the airplane shows up, my nephew is pointing to the sky. And for us, it's something so every day, mundane, whatever. You know, if you're aware of that, you just pause and you're like, yeah, that is. That's amazing. There's an airplane in the sky, you know?
Exactly. That is the best thing about children, feeding into their joy. Because we lose that as we get older.
We
because
do.
We're like, oh, again, it's that survival life. I have to pay bills. I have to do this. But there's so much beauty. There's so much magnificence in all that's happening around us. And children remind us to like, that computer turning on, that's so cool. This airplane, that's so cool. That lake, that's so cool. Yes, our lives are amazing. But we choose to focus on our problems instead of the beauty and magnificence that is us and around us.
Right. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of that quote, like, you're always listening to yourself, basically. It really is like the voice.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm actively working on now is like shifting from, I consider myself somebody who is addicted to negative emotions, you know, and that's really hard rewiring to do when that's something that for 32 years has been ingrained in me. You know, I'm like, okay, I work out every day. Now yoga, meditation, I journal every day.
Oh,
it's like
beautiful.
This step is a very tough step, you know, when you're kind of used to that negativity. And so understanding for me, it's been being gentle and compassionate with myself of like, hey, it took 32 years to get here. It ain't going to take overnight to get somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And for us moving away, and we've talked about this as well separately, that for us being a born New Yorker, like always a New York girl forever. You know, I had a lot of family and a lot of people, and you know, what the tri-state area is. It's a grind. And with that grind sometimes comes a lot of bitterness and a lot of disillusionment and a lot of anger. And for to kind of unlearn that negative emotional space, sometimes that means moving thousands of miles away. And I know that that's hard for people, but you know, if people refuse to be in a journey of evolution, then you can't halt or stalt yours for them. And so sometimes, and I've seen a quote where you can't heal where you were hurt, in the same space you were hurt.
Oh, so wow.
That's why Arizona is like our Mecca, our haven, because New York, love you, we'll visit some point, but I couldn't heal where I was hurt, and I needed to go somewhere red earth and cacti and little lizards.
I love that you said that because, I mean, as you know, I just came back from St. Pete, Florida, right? And I have ignored my internal knowing of moving for so long. And I think that has caused so much friction for myself internally where, oh, my mom's here, I need to stay in Connecticut, right? Oh, you know, I'm familiar with Connecticut. Like it's comfortable. Comfort is not the best, you know. Discomfort is where the growth happens. And that's what our conversation where, like you said, we had offline was so insightful to me because it is. And I love that you can't heal where you know,
are hurt,
where you were hurt.
It just doesn't.
I've talked to so many people that were like, I spent 10 years in whatever place and then came back home. And it's like, I did my healing. It's like, you're not signing your life away by going somewhere else, but there's other experiences out there when you trust yourself. For me, getting to a point where I trust myself to go off and do it. And that's what these 2.5 weeks have kind of shown. Like, hey, you're okay by yourself. You know, like there's stuff to learn out there about you. Right. And I think a lot of us, we again serve for others, forgetting about ourselves, and then complain about life.
Exactly.
And it's like, turn that lens inward, which is the hardest thing to do.
It is.
It's so hard, but it's so impactful.
Oh yeah. No, I know for a fact I wouldn't have become a mother if I didn't move to Arizona. I feel like I'm on the cusp of turning 37, and I would not be who I am today if I didn't come here. So I'm deeply grateful for Arizona. I feel like it saved my life, to be honest. And I encourage everyone listening, if you take anything from this conversation, is you owe it to yourself to save yourself and to figure out what that looks like for you. Maybe it's moving, maybe it's a pet, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a new wellness thing that you do, but either way, there's something that could drastically change your life, and you have got to be honest with yourself enough to identify it and go after it and make it happen now, not later, now.
I love it. That's literally why I wanted to talk to you so badly, because you're so like, it's a confidence in like, you have to do this, you know, especially if it's knocking on your door. If it resonates with you as you're listening to this, it is something to at least explore. Right. Yeah. It's something to at least journal about, something to at least have a conversation about, because it's inciting something within you that's untapped, you know, and that's where everything kind of happens for us. So, you're inspiring me again to go back to St. Pete, which I'm already planning on doing, but
do it for longer, do it for 3 months, do it to the point where you're there. And
well, this is a month and a half. And if I can find a spot, I will definitely be staying longer, but to the point of like, hey, I was able to access the playful side of me, right? Riding a scooter down the street. And I was like, when would I do this in Connecticut? You know, surfing. The same thing that I loved to do when I did it in Costa Rica, like me in the water is just a healing space, right? So riding the scooter, surfing, going to beach bars, and like maybe I went to the beach in the morning, you know, and just like, that's how I start my day. But I think the other thing that's come up is like how my definition of wellness has shifted as I've grown up, where before it was, I worked out to look a certain way. And now it's like, I work out for my own self as part of my lifestyle, but I've added meditation. I've added yoga as enhancements to that well-being. You know, journaling has been something since I've been in therapy that I've adopted, that has really allowed me to not only, because whatever's in your head is already real, right? Like people are like, I'm scared of journaling. You already got the thoughts. You might as well look at them and see patterns that are existing, right? So I think just getting started, and I know in like the DEI space, there's a lot of people that sometimes are afraid to speak up, afraid to get started in creating change. So I don't know if you have any advice for that side of things, where people might be feeling a certain way in their organization, in their team, or in like healthcare, in the wellness space in general. How do you advocate for yourself?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, organizations that don't create employee resource groups, affinity groups, or even just like Slack channels for BIPOC community, or just those who need to connect with each other, that's a very good starting point. Because it's sometimes really hard to try to impact or create change by yourself, but it's a little bit easier when you have at least one other person with you. So trying to develop a community wherever you are, whatever that space is, if it's your job, if it's organization, whatever, and then from there, setting out that agenda and then having the ability to have more than just you be able to work on things. And then when it's a team of people that can, someone can talk to the HR person, someone can talk to the leader, and then get budget, right? And then you can start to impact and create opportunities that sometimes on your own, it just seems a little bit stifling. So I would say that would be my first thing. And then, you know, as we, again, I think there's a space to understand educationally, what are the points of lacking? What are the points of deficiency that you could be better at and do more at? And then what else? I think also just a level of confidence also, because I think that people are scared for change because they don't know who they're going to be on the other side of that. And so I just want to encourage
you. Oh, man.
Right? To think through the fact that they're not going to know, but that's the exciting point. The same way it's exciting to travel to another place, it's also exciting to travel in life and visit and see who you're going to be. And guess who's in charge of that journey? You.
You get just all these just like mic drops of wisdom. And that is incredible. That is, I mean, I've been stuck on 32 years of one way of thinking, right? Well, if you had, I know we got to wrap up here, but I could talk to you forever. If you had one piece of advice for people or one encouraging thing that somebody could do today, what would that be?
One, know that you are worth it, that you do not need the validation of anyone else other than yourself to know that you are meant to be here. Your life is meaningful. And I would encourage you, if you could do one thing, is to ask yourself, What are three things you want to do before it's the end of the show? And then go and do them.
Well, I don't know about you listeners, but I'm going to actively take that advice, and I needed to hear all of those things. So Natasha, thank you so much for joining Something's Brewing, and I look forward to hopefully having you back on the podcast soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.